All right. Well, welcome to Outdoor Mishaps. I kind of feel like I'm cheating because that's the opening to the podcast I use talking about spiritual things. But in any case, welcome to Outdoor Mishaps. I'm going to be talking today, oh gosh, about a lot of things. I wanted to say thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you to all of the new subscribers that have come onto the channel. I feel that the topic I'm talking about today is the reason that I've gotten a lot of those new subscribers. Apologize for not making videos most recently. Had a computer hardware fail and lost everything. I just have an empty dead box now. Hopefully someday I'll be able to get everything off of it. Anyhow, had to get new equipment. So I'm not really set up for making videos. That's why this video looks how it does. I will change the picture, put in some other video clips and everything else so it is not so boring for you. I thank you very much for listening. And today, if I had to pick a title for this episode, I would call it Bigfoot Stupidity. And that is not picking fun or making fun of anyone in the Bigfoot community. It is making fun of the fact that most people in the Bigfoot community, well, I can't say most, that a lot of the people in the Bigfoot community tend to believe just about everything they hear. Look at the comments from the video. First off, let me read you some of the, I'll just put a screenshot up of the insane amount of views that this video has got. Let me see if I can find it here. Go to analytics. It has gotten 5,200 views. And when did I post this thing? I believe that's the last 28 days from March 5th. Okay, from March 5th to now. So it's certainly more than 28 days. But in any case, it's got 5,200 views, 319 hours of watch time. And in one video alone, it's gotten me 28 subscribers. So thank you, everybody, for subscribing. I do appreciate it. I'm going to be talking today again about Bigfoot. I do apologize that if you are a strong Bigfoot believer, because I do not share your opinion. Let me tell you a little bit about me, though, and I went over it briefly in the last video, but I have always had an interest in Bigfoot. I've watched The Legend of Boggy Creek. I can't tell you how many times, probably like most of you. I used to read and devour anything I could get on the subject. Always been a huge fan and thinker that there may be something out there. I can say that has recently changed. I no longer necessarily believe that there is a Bigfoot. I wouldn't say I actually really ever believed, but I always had that little bit of hope there that something would be out there. And, you know, even now, walking through the woods, if I'm walking to my deer stand and it's, you know, pre-dawn darkness and I hear a twig snap, common sense isn't going to take over, and it's not going to be like, well, there's probably a deer or a coyote, or in Pennsylvania could even be a bear instantly, or even another hunter. Instantly, I'm going to assume it's a 900-pound hairy man monkey that's going to carry me back to his nest and, you know, make his family watch me. Look up Albert Ostman. But in any case, I've always been interested in the subject. And that being said, I'm not just a typical armchair guy who sits here and does nothing but watch computer videos and watch TV and doesn't actually go outside. I've spent my entire life in the woods, especially when I was younger. I was in the woods every single day. I grew up in the rural Missouri, and that was all there was to do, either go fishing or either go hunting. And that's what I did. I knew where every animal was. I was probably, and I don't say this to brag, I just say this to show you that I know what I'm talking about in the woods. I was probably the most successful hunter in the area. To my knowledge, no one else killed a deer, killed the deer that I've killed. I've killed many wall hanger deer, simply because I figured out how to track them. I'm self-taught. My dad wasn't a very successful deer hunter. I read everything I could on deer hunting. I learned how to track deer. I learned how to track coyotes, how to track bobcats, how to track all these other animals. So I'm very, very familiar, especially with the flora and fauna of Missouri. And that comes into play later when I play you a clip about a girl who grew up in Missouri and had supposed Bigfoot encounters. But in any case, wanted to read you some of the comments that I got from the previous video. I've gotten a lot of flack on it. I'm going to be honest. A lot of people accuse me of many different things, just of being outright mean. Now, granted, I don't believe that story. I don't believe that some lady raised a baby Bigfoot and taught it to speak some English words and taught it well enough to be able to say, hey, avoid the hunters and blah, blah, blah. Why don't I believe it? One, it's a nonsensical story. You're raising a baby Bigfoot. You've never had friends come over. You never went anywhere out of town, and that was never an inconvenience for you. I have a dog. You can't tell me that I'm a hairy man monkey that's 20-pound infant isn't going to be more of a burden for you than a dog. So certainly somebody else is going to know that you have a baby Bigfoot. But in any case, she also doesn't produce any photographic evidence in the 20 years, even 5 years, even 1 year. You never took a picture of a Bigfoot. You got the thing coming to your house. You're raising it, for goodness sake. You can't take a picture and say, hey, Bigfoots are real. You can't do that? So anyway, it's a nonsensical story. Still, it has gotten me a lot of flack, okay? So I'm going to be honest with you. There's a lot of things I don't believe in. I've been accused of being closed-minded. I don't believe in leprechauns. I don't believe in minotaurs. I don't believe in werewolves. And yes, I mentioned werewolves specifically, and I'll go over that here in just a minute. But in any case, some comments I got included, dude, if you don't think Bigfoots are real, you got to be kidding me. So why don't you just go and look at one? They ain't hard to find. Just go to some thick swamp-like places that no one else goes. It will find you. And dogmen are real. Just go late fall up to LBL, or land between the lakes on the Tennessee-Kentucky line, and camp out. It will find you. Another one, you are so closed-minded. First and last time I watched someone so closed-minded. And again, my argument is that Bigfoot people are too open-minded. There seems to be no common sense, especially when you get into the fringes of, and it's not even really the fringes anymore, the fringes of Bigfootology, with mind-speak and shape-shifting and cloaking and all of that nonsense. I mean, I don't even want to get into it. Another one, most recently, actually today, how about you go to a hot spot, then talk about it if you get back, and pass the info on to a reliable researcher? First off, how can you be a reliable researcher of something that doesn't exist? Okay, I'm a researcher of a whatchamahoozits. Okay, I've got one in my garage right now. I take you to see it, but it doesn't want anybody else to see it. Only I can see the whatchamahoozits. And I can't get any footprints or recordings of it because they're totally mute. They hover, so they don't leave footprints. I'd like to make you believe it, but you're just going to have to take my word for it. Would you believe me? Absolutely not. You wouldn't believe me, because something is like that is just asinine. It's just idiotic. Yet most people, well, a lot of Bigfoot people believe stuff just because it was told to them. And my favorite comment is going to be, bad crack, you smoke, not eat it. What that has to do with this subject, I do not know. Maybe he's accusing me of being on crack. Maybe he's accusing the lady who raised a baby Bigfoot of being on crack. Either way, let's get on with the video. Most of these are applied to with what I consider to be common sense, which, and like I just said, is lacking apparently in some in the Bigfoot community. For example, I present to you Tim Baker, better known in the Bigfoot community, known as Coonbo. And going to set up this video. Now, this is a very long video. It's like almost a 3-hour long video. And they are talking about the types of different Bigfoots. Apparently, Coonbo is so regularly seeing these creatures when he goes out on investigations that he can now identify 4 to 5 different types of Bigfoots. There's the class one, which is the classic. I'm sure everybody's seen the Patterson-Gimlin film. I'll put a picture of it here. But that's type one. There's also type two, type three, type four, and so on. Listen to a example of a type two Bigfoot as he goes on to explain it. And I'm going to set up this video a little bit, more, because he's also with a gentleman named Jim Bear King. The dude is the rudest talking over you person you've ever met in your life or ever heard. I wouldn't even have brought him. If I was the Tim guy, I would have said, shut up and sit down. When I am done talking, then you can talk. But apparently he's not as rude as I am. All right, we're going to go ahead and I'm going to let you listen to Okunbo there. And again, they're talking about different types of Bigfoots. And this is one encounter that apparently is quite common when they go out on their investigations. And I'm sorry, you're going to have to listen to this bear guy interrupt about 1,000 times. I do apologize.
Belly crawling is like, how many people will see the new Spider-Man movie, you know, where
this is a bear.
Yeah. They don't actually crawl on their bellies. Yeah. They're using their fingertips.
Yeah.
And they're getting low to the ground.
Yeah. Any of you been in the military and know what a low crawl is? These guys are the masters of the low crawl. And anyway,
that's the type twos.
This son of a gun here crawled up the riverbank and is sitting here peeking over the bank at us. And we shot this at night with a really bright flash. And that's why it looks sort of grainy and everything, because we were using a standard camera that was really not made for this. We were very lucky that it showed up at all. But now, one of the things that happens to us quite often while we're out is type twos love to count coup on you. Who knows what counting coup is? Anybody know? All right. The Plains Indians used to do this, and it was considered a badge of honor. They would ride up or invade the camp of their enemy and touch them with their hand or with what's called a coup stick and escape without getting injured. And that was considered very honorable. And they actually would get a feather for it, or
usually an eagle feather.
Yeah, an eagle feather, or a lot of them would carry what's called a coup stick, and they would get to notch that stick. But the type twos do the exact same thing. We have them crawl up under our trucks.
Yep.
We'll park, and we'll be out there calling or doing something like that. Some of the guns will crawl up underneath our stinking trucks, and you go walking around the truck, and there he is laying there. Jumps up right in front of you, runs off, scared you half to death. A couple of times, one particular incident, went out in the field. We were getting ready to leave, and this guy's wife, who wasn't anyway, remember Danny?
She gave us hell the whole time we was there.
Exactly. She goes around to get in the truck, and as she is opens the door and is starting to get in and walk around, the son of a gun reached out and got a hold of her by the ankle.
Instant believer. That was instantaneous conversion.
She got to hollering and squalling so loud, scared the booger half to death.
Scared the hell out of us too.
Her truck was a little S10 pickup truck. That booger starts out from under that truck, and that truck's sitting there going, boom, 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 boom. Look like some of these Mexican guys with lowrider shots underneath it.
You looked at me and you said, what the hell was that?
Exactly. But I've had them crawl up on it. I used to have a big F-250 Super Duty, and I can't tell you how many times they crawled up underneath that thing.
Well, y'all not got one so tall, Tim.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they made it easier.
I'll tell you a quick story. We were down at a place we call the Mounds, the Indian Mounds. It's a big hay field, about a couple hundred acre hay field. It's got five or six Indian mounds out in it. It's one of our favorite research areas. The boogers know me pretty well. And I had a lady by the name of Vicky, another lady by the name of Kelly, who Kelly's passed away now, and then myself and another researcher from St. Louis and Ken Hartung. And had my dog, Bo, my world-famous booger dog.
I'll let you listen to this one, too.
There's one road in and one road out of this place. We went down there. You always, I don't care if you're just going to the state park. Anytime you go off the beaten path, when you before you park your vehicle, you need to turn that dude around and get it pointed the safe way out.
In the get the hell gone direction.
Yeah, right. You don't know if it's going to be a bear after you or meth heads. You don't know what you're going to run into. You don't know if you're going to run into a nest of hornets. When you want to be able to jump in your vehicle and fire
irritated
up,
landowners.
Right. You want to be able to jump in that vehicle and crank it up, yank that son of a gun in gear and go. But anyway, so we had driven in, turned around, and were pointed out. All right, I got out of the, we were all out of the truck. And we went out there, and these boogers know me. We waited about 10, 15 minutes for things to sort of settle down and get quiet, and I made a call. Well, we got a couple of wood knocks from one way. We got a whoop off from another way. I said, all right, they know we're here. Now, they're not always in there. They do. They travel through a circuit through their territory so that they don't eat up all the food in one place.
Usually it takes them 10 to 12 days to circumvent probably a very roughly 35 to 45 mile zone.
Yeah.
That's why you can't pattern them. Can't right. keep them in one place.
And when they show back up in a particular area, they're there no more than 3 days, and the average about 2 days. Just happened to catch them, they answered me, so I knew they were there. So we're out there walking around, and it's dark. You know, it's 10 o'clock, something like that. And Bo was out there with me. Well, he started getting real nervous around the truck. He didn't want to be near that truck.
Bo is his dog.
Bo is a big German Shepherd, a Russian-bred German Shepherd. He weighed about 95 pounds. And he was large and in charge wherever he was. He was a therapy dog, a trained tracker, and trained in weapons detection and personal protection. Hell of a dog. And a booger dog, absolutely extraordinary. Except he would always let us know where they were. But if they got too close and we were too dumb to pay attention to him and get out of there, Bo would abandon our ass. He'd haul us to the truck. He'd leave us. He'd go to the truck.
Wasn't nothing but a biscuit head coward. That's all I ever called him.
And if he knew because of the way the boogers crawled up under the, he wouldn't go under the truck. He'd jump up in the back and get up on the roof of the truck and hunker down.
As high as he can on top of the truck.
Yep. All right, for some reason, he didn't want to be around that truck. And I couldn't, he was a big enough dog, I couldn't control him if he didn't want to do what I wanted him to do. He twisted out of his collar and hauled ass down the road heading home.
Yeah.
I was only about 7 miles from the house. And I'm hollering and yelling at him, you know, because where he's got to go is through some ungodly booger-infested territory, and I'm thinking they're going to get him because they love to eat dogs. I mean, love to eat dogs. Anyway, he gets to where the road goes into the woods and slams on the brakes, and he starts running up and down the tree line. And then he bails off and heads into the swamp. Well, that's even worse. I'm running like hell down there about a quarter mile, and I get there, and I'm yelling, screaming, yelling, Bo, Bo! Well, he sees me, he comes flying back up to me. All right. I get a hold of him, put his collar back on it, cinch it down, and I start walking him back to the truck. When we get about 50 yards, he just sits down and doesn't want to go. I grabbed him, and I'm dragging him backwards up the road to the truck. About that time, Kelly and Vicky started getting the creeps. They decided they were going to go get in the truck. So when one of them opened the door, Bo saw refuge, he hauled butt. He jerked out of my hand and he hauled butt and piled in the truck with Vicky and Kelly and got down in the floorboard. I said, all right, I ain't got to worry about him anymore. So I go back, and this road that we were on the south side was a soybean field, north side's a big hay field. And there's brush and stuff down either side. So then there's a gap on either side where the tractors could go out in there. So I walked out on the north side of the hay field. Ken walked out on the south side in the soybean field, and we're sitting there. Well, I got caught short. Y'all know what caught short means? So I have to go to the bathroom. So there was a little patch of wild plum trees. I walked around behind
that. It's kind of like a hedgerow.
Yeah, it's a hedgerow. I walked around behind that, started taking care of business, and I'm standing there. And I became aware of something literally breathing down my neck, literally ruffling the fur, the hair on the back of my neck. I don't know if I got finished or not. I whirled around like this, and when I did, my shoulder and my elbow hit one right in the chest. There was a 7-footer had walked right up behind me, and he was sitting there literally breathing down my neck. I hit him. I didn't know what to do. He goes, like that at me. And he went this way, and I went this way, and we just about hit again doing the do-si-do. Ken's on the other side of the road, on the other side of the hedgerow. He hears this and whirls around and sees the dadgum thing running off. There was enough of a moon. And I'm running to the truck. Ken takes off running. There's a little grove of little patch of cherry trees there that he has to run past. As he was running past the cherry trees, I heard Ken's feet beating. Now, so I was looking over there to see if that was another booger or what. And I see Ken just getting, as he passed those cherry trees, a second one stepped out and swatted him across the shoulder blades as Ken went by. Ken started hollering, and he caught about 3 more gears that I didn't know he had. And he got to the damn truck, and the damn women had locked the door and wouldn't let us in.
All right, long story short, he got in the truck and all was well. Gosh, I call horse crap. I call bull. It is so reliable that you see these things, and yet the evidence you present is so weak. I mean, come on. You've got them breathing down your neck. You've got them slapping you on the shoulders, all kinds of stuff. They get under your truck. And back to the first story, an S10 pickup truck. Have you ever seen an S10 pickup truck? What is the typical description of a Bigfoot? Barrel-chested, massive creatures. How is one of those going to fit under a S10 pickup truck where the ground clearance is maybe 10 inches, and that's on a great day? How are you? It's just impossible. It's like people don't think. It's like they hear a story and they just believe it. You hear all the people laughing at the story. I don't know how many people are there. It just shows the two people, Coonbo and Bear, but they're all laughing and they're all eating it up and they're all listening to these guys as if they are the cream of the crop researchers, and maybe in the Bigfoot world they are. Personally, I know that Matt Moneymaker and Bobo Fay are pretty much idiots in the Bigfoot world. I don't know about Cliff Brockman or Berrickman, however you say his name. He's about the only one I ever liked from Finding Bigfoot, and you know, Renee, but she was a skeptic, and I'm going to have to admit, I am a skeptic, hence the name of this, the picture anyway, Skeptisquatch, because I'm skeptic. I do not believe, especially stories like this. They're so reliably there, yet you have such weak and insignificant evidence. I mean, come on. You got to use your head, people, when you're dealing with this stuff. Now, if he said, you know, I've been out so many times and, you know, I hear things in the woods, and when I hear something, I'll take a picture. And I think that this might be one here. If you look here and look here, it kind of looks like a head or an arm to me. But no, when they present, they're like, this is the Bigfoot. That's his eye. That's his arm. You know, and then they present everything that they have as literal fact. There's no way that this can be literal fact. There's no way they can say that it's literal fact. With my whatsamahoosits in the garage, I can say all of this stuff happened. Are you going to believe me? I would certainly hope not. All right. So again, I say, where is the evidence? And there is no reliable evidence. There's nothing reliably presented in that whole video that I would consider legitimate evidence. There's no clear video or photo evidence. There's no blood. There's no hair samples. There's no body. This guy goes on to claim in the video that there are several people who he knows who have killed Bigfoot with weapons as small as a 270 deer rifle. Yet there is zero proof. Now, I'm going to admit, I've had weird stuff happen to me when I was out in the woods. Once, and you can ask my wife this, I got the you-know-what scared out of me. I was gutting a deer. I had just killed a deer, and it had fallen into a creek. And it took me a while to get it out of the creek because a wet deer weighs about 10,000 pounds. Finally got it out of the creek, and I had, you know, flipped it over and was getting ready to gut it. It was about 8:30 at night, so it's dark. This was in... late September, early October, I think it was. May have even been. No, it was getting closer on towards middle October. So it had been dark for a little while, and I'm getting ready to gut the deer. You know, I went around and went around where you're supposed to go around and went up the middle there. And about that time, I hear a very loud, very long, very deep, drawn out moan. I'm going to admit, it scared the you-know-what out of me. I ended up leaving the deer and I went home. And when I went back the next day, the carcass was actually half-eaten. There was huge piles of scat around it and a bunch of footprints. No, actually, that's not what happened. People would believe me if I said that, though, because that's what they want to hear. What happened was I went back, the deer was still there, nothing had messed with it, not even coyotes, and I ended up getting the deer, took it, got it home, got it processed, and I ate it the next day. So what do I think the noise was? Well, I'm going to tell you, that property bordered another guy's property. It was separated by a creek, a very deep creek, so why this guy got this idea, I don't know, but he was convinced that I would... trespass on his property, that I would cross the creek right there and that I would go on his property, shoot deer, drag them back across the creek, and then gut them over there. So it looked like I killed him over there. So he was convinced that I would do that. He would yell at me when I was in my tree stand over on my side of the creek. He would ride his four-wheelers up and down his side of the property very loud, right at prime deer hunting times, early in the morning, late at night, or late in the evening when the deer are out moving around. He made sure to make every hunt I had there as miserable as can be. So I think that guy probably saw my light over there. He probably realized, okay, this guy doesn't have a weapon because I've probably been watching him for a while. So I'm just going to make a very much scary sound, see if he leaves. And it worked. Just because you hear a noise in the woods doesn't mean it's Bigfoot. Okay? Just because you hear a noise in the woods doesn't mean it is some mythical creature. I've had limbs, big limbs, fly through the air and land in front of me while I was squirrel hunting. Do I think it was Bigfoot? No. I assume that because I was in an old growth forest that sometimes gets flooded, the upper limbs on the trees are rotten and they can't handle much of a stress anymore. And I just happened to be in the right place at the right time and they fell. It doesn't mean it was Bigfoot. Okay. I want you to listen to this clip, and this girl is from Missouri, and she is setting it up. Apparently, when she grew up, or let me set it up, apparently when she grew up, Bigfoot was quite common in Missouri. She lives in southern Missouri, probably the lower end of the state, whereas I lived basically on the eastern middle of the state. But she says that there are a lot of bears, and this was 20 years ago, actually more than that. She said she was, well, you'll hear it, but in any case, she says there's bears in Missouri, and now maybe there may have been one or two that ventured up from the state below, because she sounds like she's right on the border, but bears didn't really become anything in Missouri until about the last 10 years, and still it is so rare to see a bear anywhere in Missouri that when you do see it, it makes the news. That's how rare it is to see a bear. So in any case, I'm going to let you listen to this clip. This is from Bigfoot Eyewitness Radio. It's a very nice lady, very nice show, but I call horse hockey when I hear it. I'll let you listen to it now. And she is just telling what's happening. And then basically what happened was all of her dogs went nuts, okay? So she couldn't get them up in on the porch. She had a dog get shot previously, and she had heard a gunshot. So she's like, nope, you dogs are coming inside. And then when she goes to get the dog, she hears a bunch of rustling and leaves and everything else. And I think we're going to pick up the story from right there.
Just went to sleep and forgot about it. So we get up in the next morning, and Dad lets all the dogs out. He goes to work. He comes home that afternoon, and he said, well, sis, that wasn't a bear last night. And I said, what do you mean? And he goes, that screaming and yelling and carrying on, and then the thing you heard walking around over in the side of the house, he goes, apparently that was probably Bigfoot. And I went, what, huh? I said, Dad, Bigfoot's just, Momo is just another one of those stupid stories people tell just to get people riled up. And he said, no. He said one of Benny's grandkids was out and they had a party last night and he had to go outside and go pee. And he went out and he was standing on the side of one of their outbuildings and he thought he was peeing on a tree and he had a flashlight. And when he looked down with the flashlight, he noticed that it wasn't a tree he was peeing on, that those were 2 feet down there. And he got freaked out, kind of looked up, saw what was going on, kind of stumbles back and ran into the house. And from what he said, Bigfoot just sort of looked as shocked as he was. And he turned around and took off. Well, being a bunch of country boys with a pickup truck, guns, and way too much booze on hand, they decide to get into their truck and go off chasing him down into the woods. Which, of course, nothing came from that.
All right, so we're going to stop that right there. So, Benny pees on Bigfoot. Do you guys believe that? I certainly hope not. And here's why. Because if Bigfoot is out there, Bigfoot has to be a natural animal. There are other theories out there that I don't want to get into. But Bigfoot would have to be a natural animal. And obviously, if there is a Bigfoot out there, he would have to be the most elusive, most secretive creature on the face of the planet because he is seen so rarely. All right? Do you think if you are that creature, you are so secretive, so wary, so aware of everything going on, that you're going to let some drunk dude come up and pee on you while he has a flashlight in his hand, even without a flashlight? I mean, this is the kind of things that a lot of people believe. It just boggles my mind that this is considered legitimate at all. I'm not saying that they didn't see something in the woods. Now, the guy's inebriated. Perhaps he saw a tree. Perhaps he saw a dog. Perhaps he saw a bear. In any case, I'll guarantee he wasn't urinating on it. Maybe they got all liquored up and they just wanted to shoot stuff out the window. Whatever the case being, I highly doubt whether Benny peed on a Bigfoot's leg. That is from Bigfoot Eyewitness Radio, episode 292. I'll put the link in the description below. Feel free to listen to that at your leisure. But that's the kind of things that people tend to believe. It's like they don't use common sense. And again, I don't want to pick on anybody. I firmly believe that people are so eager and so want to believe that something exists that they will believe absolutely anything that comes down the pipe. Bigfooters will accuse me, and I read it to you, the comments, of being too close-minded. And I firmly believe that most Bigfooters are too open-minded. They believe anything and everything as a whole. Watch, there's a YouTube channel called How to Hunt. The guy seems like a super nice guy. He's a wildlife guide or hunting guide. He's got a lot of great stories about guiding. He also reads just about any Bigfoot story you can send him on YouTube. And he's become quite famous for this. He has helped quote unquote, a lot of people being able to air their hairy encounters. But it seems like he will read absolutely anything, and it's taken as proof or as fact that this stuff happens. And he gets into some really wild stories. I think he should, well, that's none of my business what I think he should do. We'll just move on to the next thing. And he's a big one of this too, and most Bigfooters are. When you ask for evidence, when you ask for clear proof, when you ask why people aren't seeing them regularly, many, many people will say, well, the government doesn't want you to know about them. What? What the living skunk ape would the government care if there's a thing called Bigfoot running around in the woods of America? Now, listen, if anything, they would promote it because they would want to promote evolution. They would want to promote the missing link. And Bigfoot, in so many people's eyes, would be a missing link. All right. The government supposedly kills them. The government supposedly hides them. Other stories, we have Bigfoots riding on the back of a four-wheeler pointing out other Bigfoots that need help from us poor, pitiful humans. It's all so stupid. I don't know why people can't grasp and understand that. Now, granted, I will give you this. The guy that hikes 8 miles back in the woods, okay? He's back in a place where somebody never goes. Maybe he's been an outdoorsman his entire life. He knows what is in the woods. That guy, too, can be scared, but I would be more apt to believe that guy may have had some kind of experience than to believe, I'd say, 99% of the quote-unquote encounters that are out there. See, Bigfoot is this. Bigfoot is unprovable one way or another. That's why it's a mystery. That's why it has always been in my mind, is because it is a mystery. Bigfoot cannot be proven. Science will never have the proof that it needs, because I'm deep down, we all have to know that Bigfoot isn't real. Bigfooters will never have the proof that they need, because ultimately we're chasing phantoms, all right? Or they're chasing phantoms. And I mentioned werewolves at the beginning of this video, and that was on purpose. In one of the comments, I was told to go camping at Land Between the Lakes, where an apparent Bigfoot or werewolf likes to hunt and supposedly kills. Kunbo, in the very same video, I would play it for you, but this is going to be a relatively long video, so I'll just give the short version. Kunbo talks about the case of the Bigfoot at Land Between the Lakes, or the Dog Man, whatever you want to call it. And it looks more like something from The Howling. And I have two issues with several issues with the story that he told. And here's a very abbreviated version. A rich family backed an RV into a spot there at the Land Between the Lakes. And it was very early spring, like late February, early March. So there was nobody there. The dad and the son went out to level the RV, the mom and the daughter stayed inside to start to prepare dinner. Unbeknownst to the mom and daughter, on the outside, the dad was getting ripped to shreds. His head was ripped off. His arms were ripped off. Then the wolfman came and killed the son, ripped him to shreds. Then the wolfman went inside, killed the mom, who apparently put up one heck of a fight, and then also proceeded to kill and halfway eat the little girl. He then threw her 30 feet up in a tree. And I think it's all just a bunch of hokey. Listen to it. And if you have the time, he starts to talk about it about the 1 hour and 36 minute mark. I could almost believe in a North American ape, like I just said, in the situation where the guy went way back somewhere and way back in the mountains. But a werewolf, I mean, come on. That is folklore told back from the 13th century to scare little kids so they didn't go out at night. That's simply all it is. Supposedly, the government, who interferes in everything Bigfoot related, went and killed the beast. It took thousands of rounds of ammunition to kill. It was 12 feet tall, and it weighed so much that they needed a special diesel winch to just pull it out of the woods. And again, No one has issues with this. No one has problems with this story. And what gets me is everyone was killed. The dad was killed and mutilated. The daughter was killed and mutilated and half eaten. The son was killed and mutilated. The mom was killed and mutilated. Yet somehow from all of this, they have an eyewitness sketch of the Bigfoot. Looks like something from The Howling. I'll put the picture up. Did the ghost come back and be like, "Sir, here's what it looked like"? No, because they made it up. There's also many, many articles out there about the idiocy known as the LBL Beast, and how it is just a completely made up fake story. However, if you listen to Kunbo tell it, Kunbo has camped there and investigated there many, many, many times. Kunbo's friend, he goes through a story, he tells a story about how he and a bunch of other people, that bear guy was with him, and then another guy could never sleep. So his guy, a friend who could never sleep, would always sit around the campfire late at night, and any noise he heard, he would take a picture of. Apparently, the dogman came down off the hill behind Kunbo's tent, behind Bear's tent, was actually walking towards Bear's tent. And so the guy at the fire saw it, took several amazing photographs of it. Oh, so clear. The Bigfoot Wolfman thing in perfect form. You could see its teeth. You could see its eyes. You could see its ears, its arms, its legs, its muscles, its fur, its everything. But he won't let anyone see the photos. Really, isn't that super convenient? Guys, use your head. I mean, the guy Kunbo seems like a really nice guy. And with the exception of Bigfoot, I'm sure that we would get along, him and I, because he's a country boy. I'm a country boy. But the guy's never, I don't know, the guy is either making things up, outright lying, or he's imagining absolutely everything. If their blob squatches have to be explained to me what they are, then it's not a very clear and legible photo. If you have to tell me what I'm seeing, then that's not a photo that I would consider evidence. And don't even get me started on the shape-shifting, on orbs, or on mind speak. That's just crazy, nonsensical talk. And like I said, I grew up in the woods, in the Bigfoot Mecca of Missouri, according to the lady that we just heard. And I've never seen anything. However, when I do see clear, indisputable evidence, I'll reconsider my opinion. To the commenter who told me about go and find a hotspot, let me know where a hotspot is. If I can go, I will go. And I'm going to be honest, this doesn't mean that if I'm walking to my deer stand at 4 o'clock in the morning, well, in the pre-dawn darkness, it wouldn't be 4 o'clock in the morning. But if I'm walking to my tree stand in the pre-dawn darkness, and I hear a twig snap, I'm not going to assume that that's another hunter or a deer or a bear. Even now, even though I know these things don't exist, that's what's going to come to my mind. That there is a big hairy ape man waiting for me at the bottom of my tree who's going to clunk me on the head and take me back to his family, like in Albert Ostman. Or maybe he's going to bite me in the neck, like the story from Teddy Roosevelt. Or maybe he's just going to scare the living you-know-what out of me. Whatever the case may be. But that's not to say that I believe that there is a big hairy ape man walking around the woods of North America. All right, everybody, I wanted to say thank you very much for listening. Thank you to everybody who has recently subscribed. I am sorry if this video makes you angry. I am sorry if this video makes you not like me very much, but I do not see the evidence that so many people say exists. You got the Olympic Project and all that going on. Where is the evidence? And look up the story on the Olympic Project and the lady who typed up the paper. It's all nonsense. She fudged so much. But in any case, thank you very much for watching. If you like these type of videos, these type of podcast videos, let me know. I'll continue to do them. I don't mind talking about Bigfoot. It's always been an interest of mine. All right. Thank you very much. God bless. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.